Yo, what's up? And welcome back to another episode of the Betascape podcast. I'm so excited to record this episode because I have a very special guest with me, Mr. David Brooks from Twitter.
What's up? What's up? What's up, guys?
Welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for inviting me. I was really excited to do this.
Yeah, I was really excited to do this too because we were talking a little bit beforehand. We're going to name all those reasons why. But before we get started here, I want to shout out your Twitter and anything else that you want to shout out. So you can find David Brooks on Twitter at David Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, 01. Don't forget and that 01. That makes it the original.
Yeah, that someone took the just the David Brooks. Just the David Brooks. Yeah. That. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. That's the same for my Just for Fans as well.
That's right. Yeah, you have a Just for Fans. So just for fans. /David Brooks 01, and you've been on Twitter since 2017, it says.
Yeah It wasn't as like active, not nearly as much as I've been in the last like year or so, but yeah. I was on there, definitely more active this past year. I mean, COVID I think made everybody a bit more active in ways that they weren't before.
I absolutely agree. I think COVID in all its ugliness really provided a space for people to be innovative and novel in their lives. Like they were able to just kind of like this podcast was born out of COVID. Cause I was just like,
it's the same thing. I mean, I think a lot of people did that. It was just like, you know what? It's like COVID gave everybody a time because I feel like that was, am I wrong in saying that you wanted to do this podcast before? Maybe you had an itch before.
You know what? I think I had an itch because I didn't necessarily know that it was going to take the form of a podcast. Mm-hmm. I just knew that there was something that I had to give back to the community because I felt so empowered and I feel like I'd finally found my home in this community that I was just like, oh, and also too, like there wasn't anything that I thought was like talking to me directly. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was like when I first got on, like my first introduction to solo sexuality, like masturbation was Bait World. Are you on Bait World? Do you know Bait
World?
Yeah,
I am. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. People can follow you there, right?
It's that and my, hold on. Let me pull it up because that one's a little bit of a different. I think it's like David Brooks, XXX. Because again, David Brooks is a popular name somewhere.
Pull that shit up. People need to follow your sexy ass. Because you're so sexy. We're going to talk about that too.
David Brooks, XXX. There we are.
Perfect. David Brooks, XXX. Go find him. You can find me on my social, Beastly Bader. You know how to do that. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, so Bait World was kind of like my first introduction, but when I first started navigating Bait World, like it was all very like it was very impersonal, like it was very like it was very intrusive. It was just like, oh, nice dick, like let's whatever, and I was just like, well, I think for me that was kind of like the beginnings of like my demi solo sexuality, in which I was just like, oh, I feel like I need to make a deeper connection before I really like really enjoy my time with this.
Right.
Does that resonate with you?
Yes. I was actually trying to think about like how I came across Bait World and like what I was like looking for. I'm not even sure what I was looking for. It was just a completely new space. I was like, oh, there's like a legit social site. This, you know, this Facebook.
How did you discover this? Were you just doing like a Google search?
I'm sure I came across a link on Twitter. I'm sure it was on Twitter. I'm sure it was in some like Twitter hole, like, you know, it's like one feed after another. Yeah, and then I just found, I came across, I'm like, what is Bait World? And I was kind of, when I saw the website, I was like, it's probably like, it's not that serious. But then I was like, okay, no, there's some guys that have been on here for like 10 years that have had an account. So I'm like, wait, where the hell have I been that this, I'm just discovering this. Yeah. But I feel like the only thing I guess is it's like the territory that comes with it is like a lot of the guys are kind of passerbys. There's not that many people who are like firmly planted there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, which is understandable. Yeah. Which I get it, you know, because it's kind of like it's one of those things that you show up at night and then you don't come back for like a week or so.
Yeah, and then that's completely valid too. Like you can use the site for whatever you want to get off. And so to me, like in the beginning, it was just like, okay, let me tip my toes and kind of figure out what's happening here. And then I just started really committing to the lifestyle because it all just made sense to me. I was just like, I've been a masturbator all my life. So I was just like, okay, like I'm here in this space. And then I just started getting more like positive feedback because it was really when I made the commitment to show my face. Like that's when, like, I was just like, here I am in the open. Like,
You know, it's funny you say that. I think that was probably the first place I uploaded like a full face nude.
Yeah, me too.
Where I felt comfortable. Mm-hmm. I definitely wasn't doing it on Twitter just yet. Cause like, even when I first started on Twitter, I was like, oh, I don't know how much of me do I really want to expose and put out there? Mm-hmm. And just like little by little, I got really comfortable with myself. I mean, I was always comfortable with myself, but it's being comfortable with yourself online, you know?
Yeah, it's a whole different playground. Twitter's a whole different fucking world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're doing really well. I think so. I was talking to you beforehand. Like the reason why, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know how. I don't remember how I found you, but I'm sure it was probably like some retweet or something. I was like, oh, this is really sexy. Let me check this out. And I thought you were just gonna be like another like porn, like just for fans, which is cool. Like I thought you were gonna do like, but then you started introducing the word bait, and I was like, wait a minute. Like this guy kind of gets it, kind of understands. And so then I was just like, oh, then he is a baiter. So then I started researching your stuff. But probably the main thing that really attracted to me was because we look similar, kind of, sort of. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I saw myself in you, even in your body type. Mm-hmm. Like that resonates a lot with me because when I think back on my family history, I saw this body a lot. And so I was like, oh, this is really hot to me. And I don't see this a lot. Yeah. So thank you, first and foremost. For
you're welcome. I love that. Body. It's always great to connect with or that someone actually finds something connecting with me, you know, because like with what I do, I'm not like, it's not like a full on vlog where I'm talking. And so to get that, you got that visual connection is great. Cause then it's like what I'm doing is working then, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely working. But how did you get started in all this? Like, what was the catalyst for you to come online and be like, here's my dick?
So I've always been a sexual person. I actually started at OnlyFans. Oh my God, let me see. Like COVID always throws my timing off. So I want to say like maybe 4 years ago, I started at OnlyFans and it was dabbling. I didn't even know what I was posting. And then I'm not even going to get into it, but like OnlyFans is just horrible at like custom service and posting. So there was just some issues I ran into. And then I stopped posting there and I was just going on Twitter. And then I found Just for Fans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I like this, like a new site. Cause it's fairly new. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I think this is like a cool site for me to post to. It's definitely like easier, like logistically, like getting everything posted, customer service amazing and all that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to like put myself out there sexually. You know, I'm not gonna lie, money was definitely a factor. Cause I'm like, okay, I like sex, I like jerking off.
Hey, I love it. Listen.
I'm a Capricorn, so I love a good business.
You own your body, baby. Like, that's what I feel. People always ask me, like, oh, how can I get it in? How can I get it? And I'm just like, that's your body. You can sell it and market it for however much it's worth. You own that shit.
Like. Yeah. And it's funny, is like when I first started doing, I'm like, who the fuck is going to pay to watch me jerk off? Because it's not like, usually when you think of porn, it's like you think of, but usually when you think of porn, you're thinking of like full on intercourse or at the very least oral.
Yep.
So when I was like going on Twitter and like just seeing the other accounts on Just for Fans, I was like, wait, there's a whole fucking market for this. Mm-hmm. Like I can actually really go in and then explore myself more and make a little coin on the side. Like it's it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I feel like that's relatable to me. I think like watching porn, like just growing up, like that was the only option, right? Like you only ever saw people just fucking each other like all over the place, and I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And then you're satisfied with that, but then one day you get online and you're just like, let me try something new. Like I've seen all this shit, and then that's when it kind of starts. So you kind of like start going into all these kind of like the hidden underground links of like the pornography that's online, and you discover all this new shit.
Yeah, some things I was good without discovering.
Sure, yeah, same. there's things that aren't my cup of tea, but I think porn's cool.
Yeah, so you kind of said something that resonated with me. I remember when I was younger, mm-hmm. I came across a ton of intercourse porn, of course, but every now and then I forget what studio did it or you know whoever filmed it, but actual solo scenes, and I actually mm-hmm. like found myself watching those more so. Like the more that I think about my soul sexuality these days and like think of like where did it kind of begin, it started pretty young. I didn't know at the time, looking back, I didn't know what it was, you know, I'm just another guy jerking off. But looking back now, I'm like, huh, it's like, that's where the bug, I think, started. Whatever porn I watched when I was younger, that solo porn, it like, I guess it maybe stuck with me. Yeah. So every now and then, like, I liked watching it. But again, like the last year with COVID, again, being home all the time and, you know, having to get a little creative in your mind, I really dove into my bait.
Yeah, I love that. I think it was the perfect time for people to kind of take a step back and be like, okay, well, what is it about me that I really love about myself, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's always been a journey with mine, because I'm always just like constantly trying to evolve and be like, oh, how can I love myself even more than I do now? But COVID really put things into perspective. It was like, okay, here's even more time for me to kind of discover what the fuck I'm about.
I mean, I've been masturbating for like obviously the longest time. I was thinking about this earlier before we set this up, and I was like, all right, because I know this is gonna probably come up, like, when was the first time you masturbated, like how long ago? And I can't remember the first time, but I remember like I remember moments, but I will say like in the last year, again, because of COVID being home and just like you, there's not much else to do. This is probably like the deepest I've ever gone into like my bait. Like getting like legit lost in it, you know, because like before it's like it's jerking off, getting a nut, you know, you might have a little bit of extended time, but like having this extra time, I was like, wow, I've had my best jerk off sessions in the last year.
Nice.
Like the best.
I love that. I feel like it's always a goal of mine to just kind of like outdo myself in my bait. Like I'm always like, how can this get better? Like, how can I improve upon this? And I think one of the reasons why I did expose my bait too is because I was having these incredible orgasms, and I was like, people should see this. Like, people need to witness this. Like, and I still haven't caught it on film. Like, I still really haven't showed the depth of what my bait can be.
That mostly I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, mostly because I'm really intimidated by it, because I don't know what that would mean for me to see it back. I don't know. It's pretty powerful, I think.
Have you ever recorded yourself without any intention of posting it just to watch yourself or no?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think it's the idea of like, here is like my primal beat for like the whole world to see. And you're just like, wait,
I don't know. It's a vulnerable.
It is very vulnerable.
I mean, if you think about the like universal vulnerable moments people have, that's one of them.
Yeah,
like everyone's shot is always like, it's like no one sees that but you and your partner, whoever you're with, you know, in that moment.
Yeah, because you can't see yourself doing it, right? No. Because also,
I mean, unless you're in the mirror,
But even then, I think you're aware of who's this person in the mirror. Like you're seeing yourself do this thing. I'm talking about that like primal, uninhibited, in the moment, like fucking cum shot. That's kind of like, I know this is like. So like when people say like hail penis or penis is God or I worship penis, like it's starting to make sense to me.
You know, okay.
Like I'm starting to like, I get it. It's starting to resonate now because I'm at that level maybe.
Yes. I think actually, you know what? I mean, to be, okay. So I can get really lost in it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I've gone to like this, that gooner stage. Mm-hmm. I've gotten close to it. I don't know if I'm comfortable getting, I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm comfortable getting there. If I feel, I don't feel shame. It's not that. Mm. I just don't know if it's me. I've had moments. I think it's hot when I see a guy getting there it's crazy when I see it last a long time. Like he's gone.
So when you're talking about like your, you said you were afraid of it? No. It wasn't for you. Are you talking about the physical like expression of gooning, or you're talking about the sensations of gooning? Because those are two
physical,
separate things.
Okay, so the physical then.
Okay, so you're talking about the faces, like these guys are that resonates with me because I remember when I first started like doing the whole like solo thing and I was looking at beta porn. Mm-hmm. The one word that constantly came up was gooner, and I was like, "What's gooner? Right. What's gooner?" So then I started reaching gooner, and I was like, "That looks fucking crazy to me. These kids look whack as fuck. Like, what is happening here? Like, this isn't attractive to me, right?" Disregarded it, and then probably maybe like 2-3 years after that, is when I hit Gunnar's stage, but that was a process.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is for me, because I've gotten there, like, meant like inside.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like looking at my dick and I'm like lost, and I'm like, I almost wish, I guess, kind of like what you were saying before, maybe, I don't know if this is exactly that, but I almost wish I was not me.
And you could
doing yourself. That to me.
No, but I want you to know that it's definitely a process. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, and you won't force it either. I think that was
right. No, that's something it shouldn't be forced.
Yeah, I think a lot of young guys are just like, well, I want to fucking good. Like, how do you fucking good? And I'm just like, practice. Like, give yourself time. You'll get there, and you'll understand. Like, it'll just come. I don't know how to explain it. It's a very visceral, natural, breaking point. Where you're like, you're in this bait, it's good, it's getting better, it's great, boom, goon. Like, it kind of happens linear that way.
Yeah.
But if you're a pro at it, you're just fucking gooning the entire time.
Which I've watched, like, I've seen. Like, there was on Bait World, I forget his name, it was one of their videos that they released their last season. And he was gone. It was interesting how he goes in and out of it too.
Are you talking about Marcel?
That's his name.
South Africa. Yeah, I love Marcel. Marcel was one of the first people that I started watching when I was when I first started getting invested in solo porn.
Okay,
he's supposed to be on this podcast. Yeah. Secrets out.
Okay.
we're trying to work a time for him to be on this podcast, but it'd be super amazing if we could get him on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, gooning. But we talked about, and you were like, oh, well, what are some things to talk about this? I found it really interesting that you were another POC baiter. Mm-hmm. And so I think, as a person of color, like, I'm always so much more inclined to help, right? Obviously, because it resonates. You're my family. But I'm curious to know, like, how your culture, because you said you're Puerto Rican, is that fair to say?
Yeah, Puerto Rican.
Like, how your culture, how, like, that system, either oppressed or enhanced your solo sexuality. Like, growing up, what did you see? What did you experience that, like, morphed and changed and influenced you to become the sexual person that you are today?
I think I got, when I think about, like, what I was exposed to as, like, a, I guess, child, teen, preteen, and teen, and all that.
Yeah.
You know, one side in school and, like, with, like, I guess, certain family members. You know, just first of all, just the whole gay thing. I was always something derogatory that I was hearing, you know, just like the verbal words or just like, just in general, just talk, you know? But then at the same time at home, like, I was exposed to porn, I guess, at a pretty young age. Cause I found, you know, it's kind of typical, found my dad, my parents, like, porn stash. He had a fairly good collection.
Nice.
so I was watching a lot of porn when I was younger.
That's hot.
And that definitely kicked that off for me. But so I guess some people would, I guess it depends how you look at it. It was a positive experience for me. Although I think I had my moments not influenced by, like, my parents or friends or society. It was just, or maybe it was, but I had this kind of, like, inner monologue when I would masturbate to porn. I was like, I felt shame. Like, totally. If I was like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I broke my dick. Like, what's happened? I should not be doing this. But then it was like, it was also one of the things like, oh, this is the last time. But it was never the last time. It never is.
The last time. No, absolutely not. Why would it ever be?
But so, I mean, other than, like, hearing the outside world view on homosexuality, not necessarily masturbation. No. I never heard anything bad. If I dug deep in my mind, I definitely remember hearing, like, the guys in school talking about jerking off, but I didn't really know what it was. You know, I knew it was something I was doing, but I didn't know. It didn't click for me. Probably until, like, high school, you know? And even then, there was still, like, some shame. Because then it was this, like, back and forth shame of masturbating, and then also to coming out to myself, you know? So it was just those two things happening at the same time. Confusing, but I was definitely going in this positive path of, like, all right, this is not bad. No one's getting hurt. I'm not hurting myself. It makes me feel good. So this can't be all that bad.
Right.
You know?
Yes, I do.
so yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, a little bit of both worlds, but generally speaking, it wasn't, like, horrible influences when I was growing up. I think it was, I guess, fairly typical, average.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I never got, like, the sex talk from my parents. Never. You know, whether it was, like, intercourse. No. Whether it was, like, definitely nothing about masturbation. Like, yeah, definitely nothing about that. Like, I don't even know if any parents would have that conversation with their kids. But
not in Latino parents. Hell no.
No.
Absolutely not.
And then, like, the closest it came to, like, a sex talk was when I was in college. I remember I told my mom I got an STD test, and she freaked the fuck out. She was like, why? Like, why would you do that? Like, what? Yeah. Like, why do you need that? I'm like, well, take a wild guess. You know? I'm just being safe. I'm being proactive here.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't understand that.
No, but my dad, if anything, like, as far as like my parents being an influence, never had an open conversation with him about it. But I knew my dad to be a sexual person, you know, and not in a incestuous way at all. Like, that's like, no, it's not for me. But I just knew him to be a sexual person. Just, I remember, I couldn't tell you what it was, but I just remember hearing like that, you know, the adult talk you would hear in the background, yeah. You're not supposed to be hearing.
Yeah.
Now when I remember those conversations, I'm like, you know what? I totally get my sex drive from my father. I totally do. I know where it comes from.
Well, that's good to know. Do you have a good relationship with your dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, we don't talk about these types of things, but if I'm 99.9% sure if the conversation came up, it would be okay.
Does your family know that you have it just for fans?
No, they don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Certain family members know about it.
Oh, okay. Are they supportive?
But not my parents. Yeah, it was actually kind of funny. It was that I'm really close to one of my aunts and two of my cousins, and I was explaining to her like what it is, and she's like, people pay for this? Like, that was more of her thing. She was like, I'm so fascinated. Like, she was just more fascinated than anything.
Yeah.
But we have an awesome relationship, so I was cool with talking to her. So.
Oh, that's good. I love that. I love when you can, like, fucking trust somebody to hold your shit. I recently told, like, an ex... I recently told someone about it, and she was just like, oh, yeah, he's like, do your thing, like, no biggie. And I was like, okay, perfect. But it's still, like, very vulnerable information that you're sharing.
No, it totally
people
is.
Have so many perceptions, and, like, people have a lot of judgment, and people still have a lot of shame, believe it or not.
Yeah.
There's so much shame about sex and sexuality.
Yeah.
But
you know what's crazy with that is, it's, like, it's such a shame that there's shame that comes with that, because... I mean, you give, it's one of those things that it's like kitchen table talk. You catch them at the right moment, and they're just as freaky as you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sex is fun. It's supposed to be fun. I think it's just something that is just like innately ours, you know,
yeah.
And as animals in this kingdom, like, we fuck, and no issues, like, no one should have like a hang up about it, but people do. But I think also too, it just comes from the fact that we have like a terrible sex education system here in the States.
Yeah.
And it's all reproductive. It's never about pleasure. Let alone talk about LGBT, transgender, forget about it. Like, that's, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I just think like the education system here just is bullshit. But also too, like, coming from a first generation family, that's just something that was never spoken about. It's almost as if we were like asexual, like my parents, like towards us as children, like, so like I have an older brother who's gay.
Okay.
And we just never, like, even before coming out, like my parents and my dad were just like, yo, like, where's the girls? Like, you never come with girls home, and we're just like, it's fucking dumb, we're gay, like, you know this. But you know, he didn't want to admit it to himself. But I think something that I found interesting in myself is the other layer of, okay, so I'm already gay, right? And then the extra layer is, I think I'm solosexual. So it was this idea of just like, well, yeah, I don't have a girlfriend because I don't like girls. Yeah, I don't think I have a boyfriend because I don't really want to be with boys.
Right.
But yeah, I want to be with myself. So I just never... like, I never told anybody that, because I don't think anybody would ever fucking understand. Like,
no,
just
to, like... yeah, that'd be a hard one to to describe to somebody. Yeah. I mean, even now, like, I have my husband, I have my best friend that they know what I do, and they know the type of content that I do. And in that I discovered my solo sexuality. So when I explain it to them, they kind of already get it, because like they're like, oh, well, you do solo porn, so like get why you consider yourself a solo sexualist, but yet you're married. Because I thoroughly enjoy having sex with my husband and guys in general. But I also really, really appreciate my alone time. Yeah. Like I really do. Yeah. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I love my husband to death. He knows how to touch the right places, but like only you know how to really touch the right places.
Well, that's what I just thought that was so fascinating, because I was just like, when you told me that, I was like, oh my God, we gotta talk about that, because I get a lot of feedback about like, yo, you should talk to someone that's like married and a beater. And I was like, well, here's fucking David Brooks, bro. So how do you navigate that? How does that work for you? Like, the only way I can explain it to me is that solo sexuality is just an identity. Like, there's mm-hmm. such a spectrum too. And that's even just, I'm talking just solo sexuality. I'm not even talking about baiters. Like, baiters mm-hmm. a whole different like conversation. But like, solo sexuality, it's up there with asexuality, demisexuality. So there's like a scale that you can move back and forth on. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be single or partnered. What I'm trying to say is like solo sexuals aren't monolithic. Like, they're totally distinct and have different lives, and it varies in intensity. So you, being a married man, how do you navigate your solo sexuality in that marriage?
I think in my relationship, it kind of flows very naturally, to be honest, mm-hmm. because like when we've talked about it, like I said, like we have sex together. Obviously, we enjoy sex together. Mm-hmm. But yet we both have talked about how we enjoy our individual time. Mm-hmm. And at first, and this was before I really like kind of realized how I am, because I remember he would tell me, he's like, oh, like I he's like, there's times where I don't want to have sex. Like, and I'm like, I got like my ego, like my ego got a little punch there. I was like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But then when I thought about, like, I stepped out of the scenario for a second, I'm like, whoa, David, there's times where you prefer to have sex by yourself. So like, you shouldn't get offended if he wants to, you should respect that. Mm. Which I do. And I like, I mean, and it's also, it kind of works both ways in the sense of like, it turns me on that we both do that. Cause like, he's the same way. Like he gets totally turned on by the fact that he knows I am in our bedroom making concert or just jerking off by myself. And he does the same thing. So it kind of flows naturally because we're already.
Wait, so you're both creators?
No. He like he's just, that's his own personal time. There's no cameras rolling or anything like that.
Is he solo sexual too?
He does. I don't think he's ever identified. He probably like, I've used the word around him, but I don't think he would identify as that.
Mm, got it.
I think he may identify more as just simply as a guy that jerks off and prefers to do it sometimes on his own.
Okay.
And just lay back, watch porn, and just like enjoy himself.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, yeah, so like there's no, so it didn't like, it doesn't get in the way of our sex life. I think it's pretty, especially in the last year, again, like everything like really took a turn last year. And so I think we're really like pretty balanced when it comes to that.
Let me ask you this, how do you all work out when, let's say, one wants to fuck and the other one just doesn't want to that night? How do you all deal with that?
So, it's funny. This is kind of always been like an ongoing topic for me, and I've been talking to my best friend, who was a girl, so she's always like asking questions about things like this. Yeah. And I'm a lazy bottom. I will say that. Like I identify as a verse top. Yeah. But when it comes to me bottoming, I'm lazy. Like this is why I'm a verse top, because I'm not a true bottom. I the whole like getting ready and like, you know, eating, dieting, all that. Like I don't have time for that. I could, yeah, not as much as I used to, I guess. So even though I want to get like, just go at me, like just take over. But it's just like, when it comes down to like the physical aspect, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
You know, I feel that so hard, because I'm just like, okay, so if I were to like get into labels and stuff, I would call myself a top, like not even a verse top. Although I have been fucked like, I'd probably say like less than 10 times in my life.
Okay.
I'm 38 now. So, but if I were to do like, I'm the fucking laziest top. That's why when guys come up to me, they're just like, yo, you want to fuck? And I'm just like, yeah, we can fuck, but I'm literally just going to lay there.
You need a power. Then you need an aggressive power bottom then.
I probably do. or someone that's going to just take control of my dick. Either I'm a lazy or a submissive top. Because I'm just like, you know what? Just pleasure me. Use whatever you got to do and then get it over with. But I'm here with you. Like, I'm loving what we're doing. But don't expect me to, like, fucking hold you upside down and like do you from the fucking aliens. That is not happening, bro. It's a negative for me.
First of all, I think that doesn't happen as much as we think it happens.
No, it doesn't happen at all. I don't think. I've been watching too much Twitter porn.
I had sex with a guy recently where we it was me and my husband. We had a three-way, and this guy was like limber enough and light enough that it probably could have gone there, but it didn't go there.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's times, I'm trying to think of like the last time I had some really good fucking sex.
Okay.
For me.
At least when it happens, it's good.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe. Okay. I do relish those moments. Like when I do have it, it's good. I'm just like, okay, this is good. This is nice. It's like a change of pace. But the reason another reason why I just found that so fascinating in your marriage is because I feel like I'm at a point now where I would like that. I don't believe in marriage, so I wouldn't get married. It's not for my thing, but I would love to find like a solo sexual lover. And people always ask me, they're just like, oh, like who are you dating? Like, who are you going? And I'm just like, I'm dating baiters. Like, there's no one else out there for me. I don't think that would understand.
Yeah. I mean, for us, like I said, like the sex is good. It varies. I think we have a nice balance of whether it's like fucking or just giving head or just jerking off together.
Did you meet in that space, or how did y'all meet?
Like, no, we met completely like in our respective fields. We're both in the fitness world, so that's how we met.
He comes out in your Twitters too, right? Sometimes
he does, yeah,
like half of his body or something, like him sucking a titty.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, he does. There's some videos that you'll see with us, but like, it just, those are like very in the moment. Those are not like, let's get the camera set up. And you can kind of tell with the video quality sometimes.
Yeah. No, but that's hot though. I get off on that when it's like average, like not average, but like everyday people like doing their thing. I'm just like, fuck yeah, I'm doing that shit too.
But yeah, it's funny. Like we have, like I said, I think we have more non-intercourse sex than actual intercourse sex.
It's hot. So you guys are like just baiting all over the apartment
together. We're jerking off, I'm sucking his dick, like we love like chess play. And that's kind of like what I like about
what's chess
the
play?
Sex that we well like sucking in my tits, sucking his tits. Like
playing with
each other. Yeah. Like that's like jerk me, edge me and play with my chest, and I could just fuck. We could do this all night, like literally all fucking night.
That's what I want. I want to be in the relationship with a guy knowing, because I feel like it's, to me, it's like the pressure of having to like fuck this person. I'm just like, bro, it's not gonna maybe once in a while, like on an anniversary or maybe for a Christmas present or if I'm really fucking horny one day, but I would say like 95% of the time we're gonna be doing other shit. So I need you to understand that.
So it's funny, like, all right, so like what you're saying there, we're also open, right? And there's like a few reasons for that, but like we're committed, we love him. Like if I had a choice between a hookup and him, I'm still gonna choose him. But there's also things that he's not into that I can get into.
He's gonna love this podcast.
and he's like totally cool with that. And it's like vice versa, because I'm like, if you want to top, if he wants me to bottom, but I'm not, you know, ready, or I'm just not in the mood, by all means, find somebody to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to let that out. don't hold on to it.
Sounds really nice.
And so it works both ways. But what I want to get at was, it's interesting when I talk to other guys, they are looking for intercourse, and I have a hard time finding somebody that I'm like, listen, like I'm more than willing to top you, but like I just said before, I'm like, if you just want to jerk off and like play with, like do a little nip play, like I'm good with that. Like, come on, that's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
You know, so not too many guys are into that, because they are looking to get fucked and like, again, respectable, like you have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to find somebody that just wants to jerk off or just play with chess and all that, you know?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But who's to say, you know, people tell me all the time, it's the same thing of like falling in love. Like I don't get the whole love thing. But my friends are always like, it's because you've never been. And the same thing with like a partner with like partnered sex, like, oh, like what if I meet a guy that I just always want to fuck all the time? And that could change, but I would still be solo sexual.
Yeah.
Very much hold on to that identity. Like masturbation is like my daily meditation practice. That would never go away. But I just happen to be with someone that I'm fucking all the time.
Yeah, a little
which
bit of
like, yeah, which I feel would like be ideal. I don't know. Relationships are hard to navigate. I think at one point I was very interested in polyamory. I actively went out and looked for people that were like really? Polyamorous. Yeah, I went on like apps and went on like chats and I was like, I am here. I'm selling myself. I got good credit. I got a job I can hold out. I got a car.
I'm not a jealous person. I play everything's even for me. You know, I've gotten, it's one of those things I've gotten exposed to more because I guess of Twitter and talking to other people and just being exposed to other people. Even a longtime friend of mine, we've had many of discussions about that. I think if we were talked about this, we were having this conversation with me like 10 years ago, I'd be like, absolutely not. Open relationship? No, let alone more than two people. Like, same. No. Same. But as I've gotten older and, you know, it's cliche. You get older, you get wiser. You start to see the world differently. You start to see things for what it is. You start to see institutions for what it is. Yeah, it is.
You go through this lived experience and you see and you hear and you learn and your mind evolves and you read, you take in all this new data and you're just like, oh, like this, I'm changing along with it. Which I think it's healthy. Like I don't want to be the same person every day. Like, yeah, I can do that for a couple of months, but I'm always striving to like better and improve myself. And that changes everything.
Exactly.
Like your job, sometimes your friends.
Yeah. Sometimes your partner may not evolve with you and you're going to have to eventually part ways.
That's always hard because that happens a lot with people. Like that can happen with family, with friends. I mean, it's happened. I feel like it's happened with like almost all of my friends. I'm just like, stop talking to me.
Yeah. I went through that phase a couple times already.
Yeah, because you have to, because it's just like, okay, like if you're not serving me to be greater in my life, then what's the purpose of you like sticking around?
Or even just there is a selfish part of it, like serving me, but it's also like serving each other. Like if you're not balancing each other out, like you have to part ways. And it's like no shade. It's like, you know, it's no, like, no, no, I'm not going to hold it against you. I hope you, unless there's like obviously some sort of like bad falling out, you know, it got somewhere heated, but if it just slowly dissipated, then, you know, it is what it is. I'll check in on you every now and then. I think there's an essence of relationship for me. I'm always about like the essence of relationship. So there's some people that I'm not necessarily like super close with anymore, but every now and then we check in with each other, you know? And that I actually really appreciate that because at least we didn't force the relationship, you know, it didn't end bad and we still check in on each other.
Yeah. Okay. That's good advice.
It's not going to work with everybody because that person has to be on the same understanding.
Yeah, I know. That's a good disclaimer. Like, listen, it's not going to happen with the pity.
Yeah. Don't check in with every single acquaintance you've ever had. Cause then you might come up a little weird.
Oh my God. We're giving the kids like this bad advice and shit. No, no, it's fine. Oh my God. I opened my Twitter. Twitter's insane, bro. Like Twitter makes me so horny. Every time I open this thing, there's always something new to see.
What
are some of your favorites on Twitter? Who do you follow? At the top of your head.
I'm trying to think. Okay. All right. So like the first ones that come to mind are like the porn stars, just because there's a couple that I really like.
Like who?
Rogan Richards. Like he's not a baiter though. He's not went to solo sexuality. I don't know if you know who he is, Rogan Richards.
No.
No. I think the reason why I'm just thinking about it, like the first person that always comes to mind, he gives that hyper masculine sexuality. Like he's like really like beefy guy, like ripped, like not necessarily ripped, but he's just like really muscular. Rogan Richards.
Oh, Rogan Richards.
Yeah. He has two accounts, like one that's like more personal, one that's more like marketing his content.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, he's Australian.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of everybody's because I have so many I follow.
I see them. Yeah, I have a lot of people.
But the one guy, actually, one that comes to mind that I keep going back to his videos, and I found him through Bait World. I think he was one of the first videos from the second season. Big Skippy or Skippy?
Oh, Skip. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, white guy with a big dick.
Yeah, that video he did for Bait World, that was kind of like a go-to video of mine.
Was it?
Nice.
Yeah. I think it's like Skippy 8 or Biggie 8 or something like that.
No, I'm gonna try to pull it up while we're talking.
I totally know what you're talking about. Oh, speaking of favorites, I recently got into the underworld like Skype bait like Zoom chats.
Oh, that was the first thing I got exposed to when it came to like watching like just finding other solo sexuals and just other baiters and yeah.
I've never been a part of that, and I like was on cam, and like the host called me out. They're just like, "Yeah, we're looking at you, BC.
You fresh, better
fresh meat." But what I was going to tell you is that in that bait group, do you know the porn star John Thomas?
No.
Well, he came on the screen, like he came into the chat room, and then we all like fanboy out. It was really funny. Collectively, everyone was just like, oh shit, John's here, John's in the room. And I'm
literally making a note so I could look him up.
he stayed for a couple minutes and like busted a nut. But it was just like, it was our like celebrity.
Yeah.
It was great to be in that space of like the guy walking
around. That's awesome.
It's just crazy. What am I, this is not bizarre. I don't know, it was really cool.
That whole idea in the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, this is like a cool, I'm not going to say, let me be for real. I'm like, this is, I guess, an all right substitution considering COVID, you know, you have to limit your interaction with everybody. So Zoom was like the next thing. So the first time I went on to like a couple of rooms, I was like, I don't know if I can get into this because there was a lot happening. Because some rooms have like five guys. And then I went into one room. Oh my God, there must have been like 100 guys.
Yeah.
And then I'm hearing all the sounds and I'm like, wait, this is like sensory overload. I couldn't. And then I'm like looking at one guy and I'm like, wait, that's not his sound. And I'm like, no, but I want to find the guy I'm listening to. And I couldn't figure it out. So that was an interesting experience.
I think for the longest time, I had so much anxiety about that because I experienced a lot of like online rejection. Rejection,
really?
Because like you're it's so easy for someone to kind of just close your laptop on you without like having. And it's funny, I was talking to another baiter and I was like, yo, we should like talk about like baiter Zoom etiquette. Like you don't just shut down your computer and fake it like your roommate's fucking calling you, bro. Like if you're not feeling it, let's all be transparent, let's create a safe space and be like, you know what, this isn't my vibe. I'm just going to wish you the best of luck. Let's go on our way. Like it would save people.
Well, like that, you're talking about like more one-on-one though.
Yeah. Or one-on-one or group or any kind of like.
Cause group, I mean, it depends on how you're moderating it. I've seen some people that try to moderate it and it, I don't know if it's like a fail or if it's successful for them, but like one-on-one definitely for sure. Like, cause I have experience where I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, just like.
Well, what I thought was so interesting was like in this room, it's like its own sub community.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's someone that's well known that regulates this room.
Yes.
I don't know who that person is. I was trying to find out who that was. I don't know. But I was like, there's this one guy that kind of hosts these groups and he's been doing it for so long. And there's key players in these groups.
Oh.
Yeah. So like everyone.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah, everyone will cheer on a specific person because that person has been a long-standing like contributor to these porn Zoom groups. So that's why when I came into this group, like the host like asked me to unmute and they're just like, talk, bro. Like, who are you? Like, you're new here. You're fresh meat. So what are you about? Like, how did you find this?
I appreciate that so much because that's so interactive and it takes it to another place.
I felt really special. Because he was just like, yeah, you're like fucking sexy. Like everyone's looking at you. And I guess like behind the scenes, there's chatter amongst the men of like, oh, who's this new guy? So like, it felt very exclusive.
Okay.
Is what I'm trying to say. And so that's why they're just like, oh, like, how would you find this? Like, how are you here? And I was like, I don't know. I just clicked on some link that somebody sent me. But it was like my first exposure to that like world, like this, like,
okay.
like beta. And then it's like the deep, the
It's very organized. That's very organized.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's just like there's a movement. There's this underground community of these things happening, which is how like this guy John Thomas came into this group. So I don't know. It just again, it felt very exclusive. I felt hella sexy. I don't know how to find the group again. Like I feel like it was just a fluke, but I'm looking forward to like the next one. I don't know.
I think the closest I came to that type of organization, it wasn't so like, oh, introduce yourself, like they spotlighted you or anything like that. It was one of those rooms where it was like there was a shit ton of guys. And then as I'm listening, I'm just like laying back, jerking off, just watching guys, kind of like seeing who's there or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm realizing that the host is actually like giving people numbers on who's ready to come next. And then he would spotlight that person.
Yeah.
And then
everyone
is like cheering them on.
Cheering them on, yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is kind of hot. And I remember I did it and it was like, it was like one of those things, like, damn, I wish it was actual, like not Zoom, but like in person.
Yeah, because
imagine that.
Yes, I can imagine that very much. Very much so. Yeah, but that's how this Zoom was too. So like
okay.
They would kind of everyone like if someone was on the verge of like coming, like the host would be like, yeah, let's zoom in on this guy. He would identify.
I wonder if it was the same room, maybe. I wonder if it was happened to be the same.
They probably were. I don't know. This happened a couple of nights ago.
Okay. No, I actually haven't been on the Zoom chat rooms in a while.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I want to take a break from it because again, it was a little overwhelming. And I didn't get bored with it. I didn't want to get bored with it. So I was like, let me just like take a break. Cause it can get a little like one note after a while for me at least.
Yeah, for sure.
So I needed to like vary it up a bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't like that, just solely focusing on people masturbating just doesn't do it for me. Like I have to have porn on the side.
Yeah.
But I think that's typical because I was looking at a lot of people's screens and a lot of men were looking off. So like I can just only imagine people are like being stimulated some other way.
Listen, I feel like I've noticed some guys out there that I'm really curious for the camera to turn around because I swear some guys have like 3 or 4 monitors set up. And they have like a shit ton of porn going on.
Yo, I'm always so fascinated when I see these GIFs. Like I have like a new Tumblr and there's this guy that has like 10 monitors playing with porn. I'm just like, that's so much stimulus. Like
again, not kink shaming at all. Like that's great. Like that's what gets you off. But like I think the most I've had was probably like my phone and like my iPad. And even that was just like a little bit too much. It's like I need to focus my attention on like one thing at a time. Lately, like it's hot for 10 seconds and then I got like over it.
Lately in my baits, I have this one, I found this one go-to baiter track. It's amazing. I'll share the link with you. And it's like this house trance, but it's this gooner baiter guy that's just like, yeah, bro, like bait your dick. He's like having this conversation with you while the music plays. And then on a different tab, I'll be playing a porn on mute. So then you get that energy of like while you're jerking off, you're like, this is a fucking party.
That no, you know what's okay? What okay? You're like triggering memories now because I've had so many like bait moments by myself the last year that I kind of forgot about some of the early ones.
Yeah.
And I remember I came across as I was actually trying to find like so I like doing poppers like when I jerk off, not all the time, same. But like
poppers
it's
good.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. So and it was my first time I got introduced or exposed to the popper bait trainers videos.
Oh yeah, like trainer, yeah.
So I came across one on Pornhub and it reminds me of like what you just described. It had like I'm not even gonna lie, I just want to go backwards for the music.
Yeah, the music is good, was really right? good.
And then there was like kind of this like talk in the background. It didn't seem as interactive as the one you're talking about, so I would love to watch that one.
Yeah,
but I really appreciate that verbal walkthrough.
Me too, because I feel like one of my love languages is verbal affirmation. So like I've always had phone sex. Like I've always gotten off on it. So I'm really good at like verbalizing, communicating that. But yeah, also too, what I've been doing is I've been playing these bait tracks that I find on SoundCloud.
Okay.
Like it's just part of my music. So like I'll be driving on the freeway and I'll hear this music because I feel like I want to like dive deeper into like this like baiter lifestyle.
Yeah,
like, all consuming. Yeah.
Have you ever watched because he makes really good like his shit is like really good. Oh, Popper's God.
Yeah, I know who Popper's God is. Yeah.
Have you watched and have you ever like subscribed to this page before or seen his stuff?
You know, I do know his stuff. I don't respond to his stuff. I think it's hot, it's valid, and it's for a certain audience, but I'm not that audience.
There's a couple of his videos where it's kind of like that. It's like those trainer videos, and he's got good music, and he's doing the verbal. Like, I feel like I like his content because it was like, you know, I'm looking for quality. Like I like, you know, so I just thought it was really good. And I'm like, fuck, I wish there was more, not just exactly like his, but I wish there was more content out there like that. Because like, it was like this mixture of like what you were describing, the video you watched, like really good music, this almost hypnotic vibe to it.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the verbal.
Yep.
You know, but like good verbal.
Good verbal, not like cheesy, like, but like real authentic. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm totally with that. Yeah. So that's kind of like where my head game is at lately. And I find it really inspiring. Like, again, like I think we were chatting before, like, I feel like it might be like, I'm always trying to outdo myself. Well, not outdo myself, but like, how can I progress? How can I be a better baiter? How can I be a more interesting baiter? Like, how can I expand on what I'm already doing? It's like a goal or a challenge.
I think the same thing too, in terms of like one from, I guess double fold, like, cause I'm doing it. I want to explore more of myself and I get to kill two birds with one stone with doing my content and then doing, cause like not, I don't record every bait session I have, but I'm always trying to like figure out like, all right, how can I make this feel better? How can I dive a little deeper? And then of course, every now and then I want to catch it on camera.
Yeah, maybe that's a good way to end on it. What's the future of your Just for Fans? Like, what do you have a goal? What do you vision?
So we kind of touched on it before a little bit. It doesn't show in my content right now because I'm just trying to figure out ways of doing it. But I want to, I guess, kind of go in an educational route, but not be, you know, like instructor. Like I kind of
do you know Daddy Will Tantra?
Huge fan.
Okay.
Huge fan.
He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. More like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Like, I don't want it to be so instructional because I still want it to be like an organic vibe. But like, at the same time, as you're watching, you're kind of like learning along the way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to be so like, not to knock his content because I love what he does. I think what he does from an educational perspective is really good.
Yeah.
It's that sex ed that I wish we had.
Yeah, definitely.
In many ways.
As gay men, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like 100%. But I would like to, I guess I'm doing it indirectly, like making sure people feel comfortable, like having sex by yourself, jerking off. It's normal. It's good. You should do it.
Yeah.
I think more people should do it more often just to release that energy. But I guess I want to go down that route. I see myself doing duo scenes, but again, I want to like play around with doing a bait scene with somebody else that's not intercourse or that's not even like necessarily even touching each other, you know?
Oh God, there's a guy I feel like you should, I've got his name. I talked to him early on when I first started. I still follow his stuff, but he does that. He'll like Zoom with porn stars because of COVID, and he'll basically like record this and like sell that as a video. I forgot his name.
I think, has he posted like kind of like how-to videos? Like, does he get very techie sometimes? Like very like he's been starting to get techie. If it's the same guy we're talking about, I'll send you.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's a video editor by day or something like that. I don't know. He seems like a really cool guy. We were supposed to do something, but we never did.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that'd be a good start. Maybe that could be something that you two can get involved in stuff.
Yeah, I would love to figure out a way to get different, explore different avenues with that.
I support it 100%. Show off your beautiful brown body. You're amazing. You inspire people like me who I can see back at you. And I know that you inspire other people, baiters of colors, gay, straight, bisexual, whomever. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, I really appreciate that. You appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for this convo. I had a really great time chatting with you.
I enjoyed it too. I love what you're doing. So I was really excited to do this with you, and I really appreciate you reaching out.
Thank you. I know you gave me you showed love for this podcast. So thank you again for all that, and I extend that back to you. So again, you can catch David on Twitter. His handle is DavidBrooks01. That's David, BROOKS 01, like the number 01. And also you can catch this Just for Fans / DavidBrooks 01. Yeah?
Yep.
And then
Bait World, DavidBrooks, XXX.
XXX, cool.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, dudes and people and folks. This is BC Bader. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I will see you in the next recording or episode.
Bye, guys.
Hey, sexy. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Bait Escape. As a friendly reminder, I am a current sex coach in training in the Somatica Method. If you're interested in my coaching services, send me a message at beastlybaiter@gmail.com.